Today I'd like to present some thoughts on the topic, the usefulness of Proverbs. I'd like to share with you the wonderful words of the wise man Solomon from the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs are a help to all Christians and believers in God. Many Proverbs have been associated with religious people. However, we see today that they are commonly used even with a minor understanding of them. A proverb is a simple and concrete saying. It is popularly known and repeated that expresses a truth based on common sense or a practical experience of humanity. The teaching of the biblical proverbs are to be cherished far above all other worldly pursuits. The book was written by Solomon, the son of David, who was king of Israel. It would appear around the year 1000 BC. King Solomon was not the only author of the book, but it includes the words of Agur and of King Lemuel. The title of the book in Hebrew is taken from the first word, Mashal, and Brother Emmanuel mentioned this in his discourse, which originally meant a comparison. It is sometimes translated parable, and sometimes proverb, and can be formed by the way we compare one attribute to another. If we look closely, we will see one thing is placed beside another for comparison. It is like a figurative discourse. We may ask, for what purpose was the book of Proverbs written? Are they just sayings or poems? However, as we know, all scripture is inspired of God and is for instruction and learning. We might say Proverbs are a set of life rules inside the book of life. They set out principles and morals which guide us into thinking of the things above. They give earthly examples that man, woman and child can relate to. The Proverbs are such an exhaustive collection. It covers so many aspects of life. Solomon was seeking and asking God for wisdom, and this scripture has been used today by Brother Graham. And in Ecclesiastes 1, 12 and 7, it reads, I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. It is a grievous task which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened, and what is lacking cannot be counted. And I said to myself, behold, I have magnified and increased wisdom more than all who were over Jerusalem before me. And my mind observed a wealth of wisdom and knowledge, and I set my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I realize that this also is a striving after the wind. Solomon's many and varied experiences were impacting on his view of wisdom. Hence he wrote or collected numerous proverbs from life and recorded approximately 3,000. For godly wisdom is the wisdom from above, and this would eventually be a fulfillment of the dream that Solomon had earlier in his life, as found in 1 Kings 3, 5-14. As was discussed today, Solomon was dreaming, and God asked him, as most likely through an angel it would be, in verse 5, ask what you wish me to give you. This is God asking Solomon. And Solomon considered himself a child, and he answered in a dream in verses 8-14. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And in verse 11, God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before, nor shall one like you arise after you. I have given you what you have not asked, both riches and honour, so that there will not be any among the kings like you all your days. And then God gives one last blessing that would be conditional, and it's in verse 14. And it reads, if you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and commandments, as your father David walked, then I will prolong your days. This background of the writer of the Proverbs is as important as his message. Solomon was seeking to develop an understanding heart. He had the humility to ask, who is able to judge? And who can judge a situation? To be able to judge, there is a significant amount of knowledge and wisdom required. A case has to be tried and decided on. It involves a need to separate, to select or choose, and to judge and place judgment. Solomon had to develop discernment. He had to examine, investigate, and question to be a wise king of Israel. Are not the Proverbs an example for us? They compare one attribute to another. They highlight the difference. Similar. They choose or select right or wrong, good or bad, light or dark. The Proverbs can assist us in many facets of our life, primarily because they are formed from life's experiences. They can assist even more the Christian, as they are lessons from God's Word and are for our admonition, training and correction. We really have a great benefit to learn from other people's experiences through the ages and to have a godly standard. The Proverbs can be very distinct or black and white to the writer. However, with our interpretation, we need to be careful not to have a bias, a leaning toward a view, a moral, an instruction that we have formed that may not be biblically based. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6, in part reads, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Yes, I can say to myself, don't be wise in my own eyes. Don't trust in my own way, but rather ask, what is God's view? Am I asking for God's help in prayer? Am I developing patience? Am I leaning on the Lord Jesus and developing with others on this narrow way? The enduring nature of the Proverbs is also very encouraging. In Proverbs 4 and verse 18 it states, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. As we've discussed in our study, many of us have had an early start when it is still dark and then gradually the light increases. It gives a colour, it shows the shapes, the scenery and the day. Likewise with the wisdom from above through the Holy Spirit of God, it gives us generously a vision. A discerning heart leads to a righteous life. The developmental stages of gaining wisdom and understanding is clearly given to us by King Solomon, and he uses the metaphor of a father and his son. The father's instruction in Proverbs 4 shows we are to be attentive listeners. We are to gain understanding from our teacher or teachers by keeping their words. And precious instruction is to be held in our hearts, especially the direct word of God. And fathers are to direct and lead. They are to be a mentor to the for the path of the upright. The Apostle James in the New Testament says of wisdom and teaching responsibly. In James chapter 3, 13 to 18 reads, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behaviour his deeds in a gentleness of wisdom. But if you have a bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which come down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing." Now the important truth in verse 17 and 18 reads, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering. It's without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." The Father in Proverbs chapter 4 could represent a literal Father or our Heavenly Father. And by parental consent, it may save a child from many difficulties in life. The Father not only leads, but communes, that is, he spends time in communication with his child, with the child, in its various forms for the instructing, for giving reproof, for adding guidance so that they may pass on the benefits of the experience of their own life. The Father is definitely to lead by example. King Solomon spells out that the pursuit of wisdom brings security. We are to be all interested to gain more wisdom in our daily walk, even as we have the experience of our daily manna. We could consider our daily wisdom or a daily proverb. The proverbs are easy to turn to, and when we rest our mind from the daily round and our common task and turn to the scriptures, we find a treasure there. Proverbs chapter 2, 4 to 10, for example, reads, "If you seek her as silver and seek for her as for a hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." What a beautiful passage. Let's look at some more examples in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs can be a very vocal, and in chapter 5 it gives the pitfall of immorality. Reading from chapter 5 and 1 to 5. "My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may above discretion and your lips may reserve knowledge. For the lips of the adulteress drip honey and smoother than oil in her speech. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold of Sheol." The scriptures continue in chapter 5 and 20 to 23. "For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the bosom of a foreigner? For the ways of the man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he watches all his paths. His own iniquities will capture the wicked, and he will be held with the cords of his sin." This lesson brings together the thought of unfaithfulness in marriage, or we could say spiritual unfaithfulness, with a turning from God to worship other idols, or transforming our affections from our union with Christ. We are instructed to be evenly yoked in the Lord in marriage. We can observe disaster and sadness in society today as the family unit has degraded. It's just like the wormwood. Infidelity, it has a poisonous or bitter nature, typifying sorrow and cruelty and calamity. If we were to have the biblical commands adhered to, we would have husbands love their wives and wives being reverentially subject to their husbands, as we study in Colossians 3 and 18 and 19. Praying for God's help and direction is important to his people. Proverbs gives practical lessons from nature also to avoid slothfulness or being idle, to not be flagging in zeal. We find Proverbs chapter 6, 6 to 11. Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her way and be wise, which having no chief, officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. Rather, we are to follow Romans chapter 12 and 10 and 11. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honour, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We must remember to be responsible and provide for our own and to remain in the faith. A well-known section of Proverbs is the six things which the Lord hates in Proverbs chapter 6, 16 to 19. It says there are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven, which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. Indeed, the world today is plagued by many characteristics that the Lord despises here. We are also reminded to control our own words, our speech, not to lie, but to have a wholesome conduct and conversation. Proverbs chapter 12, 17 to 22 reads, "He who speaks truth tells what is right, but a false witness, deceit. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. But counselors of peace have joy. No harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight." How special are these proverbs? We do want to be God's delight, don't we? When we are with our brethren, we can encourage one another. When we are carrying our burdens and stressed, we have Proverbs 12 and 25 for an answer. "Anxiety in the man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad." The Proverbs contrast the sorrow and the happiness, the rich and the poor, the upright and the wicked, the wise and the foolish. Proverbs 15:13 reads, "A joyful heart makes a cheerful face. But when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken." And how often we see this today. The seeking after wisdom should be each of our goals. For Proverbs chapter 17 and 3 says, "The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests hearts." Solomon shares with us a lot on the practical walk of life and our conduct. And in the latter chapter, Solomon drills down to find that mankind have one great leveling, and that is their Creator. Proverbs chapter 22, 1 and 2. A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favour is better than silver and gold. The rich and the poor have a common bond. The Lord is maker of them all. Also, selfishness and anger is dealt with, leading to honesty and self-control. Patience and friendships are compared. In Proverbs 17:17, it reads, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." And Proverbs 17:27 and 28 reads, "He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent." What a great counsel we have in the book of Proverbs. The usefulness of Proverbs is in their lessons and their understanding, to then apply their inbuilt wisdom principles to our daily Christian walk. As we have seen, they assist in so many topics. They are rich in teaching, parenting, and lifetime principles, and all situations. If you have a difficult experience and you need an answer, this is the book to turn to. It will assist you. We have another important theme of the value of a virtuous and active housewife found in Proverbs, starting with chapter 30 and 10 and 11. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trust in her, and he will have no lack of gain. And Proverbs 14 and 1 in part, the wise woman builds her house. And Proverbs 12 and 4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is like rottenness in his bones. And then Proverbs 11 and 16 in part, a gracious woman attains honour. In the Old Testament, the roles that women undertook were different to these today. However, her influence was proportionally great. Spiritual examples can help build our marriages, even more so symbolize the church or the bride of Christ and the characteristics which we must each develop. In conclusion, the book of Proverbs is a collection of common sense sayings. They are cherished by us all and help us to see God's ways and provide boundaries for our Christian living. We are blessed to have access to them. May these words encourage us to make use of the Proverbs. And I'd like to close with Proverbs chapter 23 and 12. It reads, "Apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge." Amen.